looking at all that. I just got a couple little articles I thought were kind of timely, you know. I thought this was pretty good here. This is just, I think, last week. Open-air speaker arrested as he expounds Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. This is John Sherwood, 71-year-old man, was led away in handcuffs, questioned in a police station held overnight for being accused of making homophobic comments outside Uxbridge Station in West London. Now remember, the gospel was in England. Remember, kind of moved from England to the United States. So you kind of follow that trend was coming here in America. You know, they kind of warned us about even Australia and things that took away the guns and everything, and they're warning us. So it's good to see where people come from. It says here, a statement posted on a Christian Facebook, his supporter said he was preaching, expounded the final verse of Genesis 1, declaring that God's purpose in creation, mankind was set, human beings and families headed up by a father and mother, not by two fathers or by two mothers. The distinction within man-made to just two genders, male and female, made in the image of God, constitutes the essence of God's order. Police said that they received complaints. Whoopee-doo. I mean, all the time, people come to me, you know, guys complain, go, well, so what? I'm complaining there's a bar right there, which closes it down. I mean, who cares you're complaining? I mean, everyone complains. Everyone's never going to be happy. They received complaints that the man had been making allegedly homophobic comments and arrested him under the Public Order Act, whatever that is. This is obviously London. You don't have to be an evangelistic Christian to be shocked by this. Anyone who cares about liberty should be concerned what's happening in Uxbridge. It says that his belief in Genesis 1:27 is a fundamental Christian beliefs. The arrest of a faithful minister of doing nothing other than declaring what the Bible teaches about one of the most important moral issues of our time reveals the dangerous assault upon freedom of speech and not less upon the freedom of Christian pastors to declare in public what the Bible teaches. The state has no right to distinguish some parts of God's word are no-go areas. Hey, you know, the whole council, you know, the church got in trouble by picking out their little tidbits, you know, the caring and sharing, God loves you type things, and everyone likes those things. But yeah, you know, you got the whole council. Whatever one's personal views are on homosexuality might be, it is surely pertinent to ask a nation become, that was a minister in a Christian church, and public, Her Majesty Queen promised to hold up her coronation in 1953, the Bible in her hand. So they have, obviously, in England there, that, you know, in 1953, you know, the Majesty holds up the Bible and swears to it, just like we have in our inauguration here. We have, you know, Joe Biden putting hand the Bible, swearing to hold the Constitution, which is, you know, obviously the freedom of speech and all those things, a very critical thing that we learn from what happened there in England. And they say it, but obviously it's not supported. So it's very good to say something. The report concludes, this arrest of a faithful preacher for doing nothing other than declaring what the Bible teaches about one of the most important moral issues of our times reveals a dangerous assault taking place in modern Britain upon freedom of speech and upon the freedom of Christian pastors proclaim publicly that what the Bible teaches. So what is next? I mean, remember, it's like a camel. A camel, once they get their nose in the tent, it's got a little steps down there, and at one step, the whole thing's in there. So that's all, you know, we see that happening. But, you know, looking at England here, going on our states here, you guys see what's going on. And like that, Northern Ireland, some things are going on there. See what's going on in the world. Their group in Northern Ireland is called the Democratic Unionist Party. Now, it sounds like a pretty bad thing, but it's literally like what we call our Republicans. This is where Ivan Paisley was part of. Remember Ivan Paisley from Ireland? Ian Paisley. Yeah, Ian Paisley. By the way, you want to watch some fun? Go Google Ian Paisley and the Pope. You ever see that? If you want to have some fun, you get home. He had the Pope come to his parliament. He was verbal against, all that. And when the Pope came there, he was Antichrist. I mean, it's kind of nice, you know. He was well respected up there, and they're kind of, real mad at him. They're leading him out, and he pulls paper out of his hand. Antichrist. They pull out of his hand. He pulls another one out. Antichrist. Pull that one out of his hand. Pulls his back pocket. I mean, you know what though? Just a guy that has some guts. It's just refreshing. Well, and what though? It's a little bit of fresh air. But anyways, this is the party that you know they started. Here's what happened here. There was a gentleman here, a lady's going out, a man's coming in, and he's a big on creation. That's really a fundamental of creation. And this gentleman coming in, his name is Mr. Poots. He's strong on it. He says, I look forward to the engagement of the debate with colleagues on whether public or contest, Northern Ireland is a place that had many great things over this last 100 years. I wish to see it rebuilt, revitalized, revigorated, and revive for the next 100 years. So obviously, he called himself a Bible-believing Christian, and he's against Dawkins. You know, Mr. Dawkins. He believes that. That the Earth's a young Earth, 6 to 8, 10 thousand years old, right around there. He calls evolution a fairy tale, and he quotes, "The wicked shall be burned into hell, and all nations that forget God." So, kind of nice to see a guy stand for this. That was, kind of brainwashed. I remember going to Washington D.C. We went for 3 weeks there on a crusade, and you go to Smithsonian Institute, and they have the rooms, 150 million year rooms, hit a little button, and this little thing comes down there and it goes into water, comes out, crawls on land, and it's a human, kind of a little video. I mean, it's brainwashing of evolution. And you walk into the room and there's Earth spinning, and they walk over there, there's landing on the moon. It's like, why? Lying liars. It's like completely, it's just brainwashing. And a lot of young people aren't thinkers today. You see that they're thinkers, That's why it says, be not deceived of Satan's devices, cell phone, laptops, iPads, devices, only found in the King James Bible, by the way, devices, they change that word around. But you know what though? And a lot of them are used for evil. Could be used for good. A lot of times, where you're at, get a map, maybe there you are, but the devices can be used as propaganda. Same thing here, he called it propaganda of evolution. So there's kind of some good little articles you see where there's still people that are standing fast on God's word around. So it's a small, minute. Keep an eye on Jerusalem, Israel, Jerusalem. Take the word James out of there. James, right? James. Then you got James. What's left is rule, right? James rules. Jerusalem is the city of the king. The King James rules. Kind of a quinky thinky. Ever think about that, But who? Quinky thinky, of course, So, Jerusalem, James rules in the city of the king. King James rules. I thought that'd be kind of quinky dinky, but, some of our brothers would think that's a quinky dinky. We're a little off on that. But anyways, getting to back to our study here, it's just good to always get a little bit of things like that there to see how the Lord put some things in there and really kind of see what's going on. We're transitioning from this pride. We talked about, I think, 15 examples of how the Lord, Jesus Christ, was tempted with that. And kind of the other side of the coin, the soul of contentment is this humility. And I'll work backwards. Paul absolutely positively knew this. I left off here last week at the scripture says, Paul knew how to use it. Philippians 4:12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. That's a very important question. I'm going to look at here in Acts 24, 25, 26. Here we have Paul converted in Acts chapter 9, And now we're here about AD, well, that was my AD 32, 33. Now we're AD 62 by almost all people that look at the scripture. So he's 34 years later in his Christian walk. And you know what you learn in a Christian walk? Kind of the application of the scripture. Obviously, he's taught by the Lord Jesus Christ there in Arabia and all that, you know. But, he, you know, he's you mature. And you know what, though? In this humility, this pride, you know, when to say things, how to say it. Sometimes, you know, younger, I was a little more of a hothead on things, you know, taking a little stand on things, you know. And now, you know what, though? You learn, hey, what did the Lord do? What did Paul do? What does Scripture say? Leading the Holy Ghost. You know what, though? It's kind of a nice thing. That's kind of what happened here with Paul here here in Acts. The word abased means reduced, low estate, humbled. You know, it's a very, 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 very humble thing. A mature Christian knows both of these. And let's look at an example here. Paul was face Felix, Festus, and King Agrippa in this chapter. And if you have time, look at the law side of it. It's a nice thing. I'm not going to look at that side. There's a lot of law principles here. And if you're in the legal side or a lawyer and so forth, if there's a lot of good principles here, you can learn how to defend yourself. But we're going to look at this kind of from the humility side today. And what's happened here in Acts in the end of 24 is Paul goes before Felix. And without a doubt, Felix was your typical politician. That's why I think it's important to bring up. You know why? Do we have this going on today? This political going on. Felix, therefore, was suppressing the enmity of the Jews and winning favor by doing an injustice to Paul. That's what's kind of going on here. Did not succeed, but in those instances, so numerous to the world, when you try to do something to please somebody that was wrong, you fail miserably. He sought money right here. He wanted money and a 24 to kind of release Paul. There's your politician, all about the dough. You know, follow the money along. It says here that he might lose him, that they should give him money, hope for money. Verse 26, he hoped also that money should have been given him to Paul, that he might lose him. So he's trying to, you know, go to the Jews, probably had some dough. Some of those, you know, that changed today. Who's got the money? The Jews. And then, you know, some of the wealthy guys. And so he's trying to get money to free him. Didn't work. Where a man gains nothing by wickedness. That's a good thought. He sought money from Paul. And the conclusion of the matter is honesty is the best policy. That's pretty basic. But that our politicians don't get that. The man in any office should purpose a course of firm and in constant and unquestionable integrity. That's exactly what the opposite of our politics is today, right? Politics, many parasites, blood-sucking parasites. That's what that is, politics. And so they put Paul away here for 2 years. Hey, how would you think about that? Think right there. You're now stuck away for 2 years on an injustice. You know, 2 years of life. I mean, think of the commission you had. And I don't know, it doesn't say too much. We had some liberty there, it seems like. But 2 years, you lose your freedom. Nothing worse than losing your freedom where you can have liberty to go to and fro. So he lost his liberty here. And then what happened is, it seems like, from what I understand, that Felix was kind of going phasing out, and they're bringing in Festus, okay, the new governor, like governors, okay. And what's interesting here is you can see when Paul speaks here, he has grace, patience. This is application of not just being a hothead. Of here he is speaking before governors and kings. Authority and how he handled himself. That's real important. You know why? I mean, it's not what you say, it's how I say it. It's the leading of the Lord. You know, I mean, and I'll show you what he says here. He admits, as he gives his testimony here, that he was obviously persecuted and favored killing the Jews. So he explains where he came from. And it says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So here you can clearly see right here, Paul, in verse 26, or verse 1 of chapter 26, and Paul stretched forth his hand and answered himself, I think myself happy. Here he is, been 2 years in jail. Here's a chance to go before Felix and Kringippa and answer for himself. That's quite a thing. One thing about the legal profession, if you get a lawyer, what you just do is you give up your right to speak. You know that. Because you're saying, I'm not going to speak. I'm going to somehow speak in my behalf. That's one thing about the lawyering thing is you lose your right to speak. Paul was glad to speak and happy for himself, because I shall answer myself this day before thee, touching all the things wherefore I am accused of the Jews. So he knew he was put there for the Jews, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions where among the Jews, wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. And what happened in those days is important, is they put these governors in because the Jews kind of had a lot of authority there and they wanted to control them. And what you had is they had a kind of like a bunch of Jews, like almost like Catholics today, and people back and forth, a lot of political hush-hush going on. Exactly what's happening back here, what's happening today. And here, Paul is giving words. There's power in words. We all get that, right? I mean, talk to your wife. You say the wrong thing, the wrong words, she'll remind you for many, many, many times to go, right? You know, it's kind of, you know, a man, something, maybe with an argument with another man, and they forget it. Water for ducks back. But sometimes words can have some damaging things, you know. You can sue someone for having bad words. So very important. And he admitted to his wrongdoing. And here we have a lot of humility here. What's interesting here in verse 18 of 26, this very little side note here, we've got his wife Beatrice, or Bernice. Notice it says that this was Felix had a wife, called wife, but this was, what I understand, was Felix's sister. So probably what's happening is he probably has some immorality going on, incest with his sister. That's why it says here that it was Felix and Bernice. Felix has his wife. So what happened is, look here, they entered in great pomp. That's typical politicians. Here they come in with this great pomp. And how is Paul standing there? He was bound, probably in chains. See that there? So you've got great pomp. Here's guys sitting probably with his sister, you know. And here's Paul, 2 years in jail, probably not as well-groomed as he should be, in chains. Look at that. So that obviously, you know, that, and they're illegally, so look at the humility of him. And he's talking to you. That's very important to see the situation when you're. Sometimes our situation will get our emotions going. And that's why it's good to hear to walk with the Lord. And here's what he says to open verse 18. He remembers the gospel. He remembers his purpose to open the eyes and to turn them from darkness into light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Wherefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Here's telling you his testimony he had when he saw the Lord. But showed first unto them of Damascus and Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. It says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say that say should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. That's the people speaking of the Jews and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake to himself, Festus said with a loud voice. That's a controlling factor. When you get someone's face, by the way, they're trying to control, you know that. They're, you know, by raising your voice is part of a controlling factor. Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning, that make thee mad. He's trying to intimidate him. People don't raise your voice at you. Something's going on there, you know. There's a time to do, but in this case here, what do you have to tell him? Told him the truth. Yeah. What trick is you angry? You see out there? You know, and Paul would think of himself, I'll cover it later, he thought of why he was called for, the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. Call him, you know, give him some humility, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. There it is, a humble and soft answer. King Agrippa, believest thou prophets? I know that thou believest. You know what, though? In this circumstances, we can see that then. He knew the Holy Ghost was moving around that room, right? You know when the Holy Ghost shows up. I hope you understand that, those witness. You know when the Lord just shows up, like, man, the Lord is in this place. I remember, I can't think of my mind right now. A couple guys came in, one of my clients, and they're trying to show him some bad financial strategies, they're dropping F-bombs, all that stuff. I hate that, you know. And then they use the Lord's name in vain, and that was it. So the Lord goes, oh, yeah, talk to them, Tim. Talk to them, you know. And I had my client was a believer, and so they're sitting out there. I had a camera on there. I just unleashed on them with just the gospel. And I could tell they were shocked. They were just shocked that, what's this? Are you saved? Where are you spend eternity? And I just really gave them the gospel, they kind of left like blindsided, and the client came in. He's a big guy. He came by and he picked me up. That was great. But you know what it was? That was the Holy Ghost just moving on that moment. Hey, you know what, though? I don't like that. Tell him, Tim. Just tell him. And at times, that's where you have to use your, you know, the leading of the Lord, or you know what, though? Hey, you're in my office using F-bombs, using the Lord's name in vain. That was it. There's a point where you have to, you know, and Paul, you know, saw some anger here, and he's come right back to the gospel. And this is that real thing. Almost thou, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. See that there, you know? That's where the hymn came from, almost, but lost. I mean, whatever happened, I don't know. Then the Lord doesn't say. Did he ever trust the Lord? Who knows? You know? And they knew when truth is spoken right here that he did nothing worthy of death. You know? And I think he would have let him go, but he requested to go to, see Caesar and to Rome. And the Lord wanted him to go to Rome anyways. And that's how I got him there, you know. So the Lord's hand was in the whole thing. I remember a time, my old church, we went to Queen Victoria Casino. Now, to witness, of course, you know. And we were handing tracts outside. And we tried to find places that had a lot of people on a Friday night or Saturday night. And the way they had it set up, very light people. We couldn't get people going to the casino because they had to go to an underground thing. So on the way out, we kind of tracked the garage, you know, with tracks, and we left. Well, one of the guys called my old pastor, because her name's on the track, you know, like you're over here. Hey, you guys came in there and put these pamphlets in our car, you know. And that probably wasn't right because it's the car, private property. And we were never calling back there. This is the guy called. They go, hey, that guy's calling. We're going to go back there, you know. Hey, the guy's calling. We're going back, you know. So we got our group out there, and we're lined up there. We're on the sidewalk, and there was a security guard. He's not, you know, a security guard's not really a police officer. He's a guy that has a badge, you know, security, you know, Queen Victoria, you know. And he comes down and sees us. He goes, oh, you're back. You're back. A Barney Fife's cop. I don't think you've had a gun. Maybe you had a zipper gun, whatever, you know. You're back. And I goes, I'm calling the police on you. I go, hey, call him. You know, I'm trying to be real gracious about it, you know. And then my buddy, Steve Patterson's with the Lord. He's up in the grass. You're stepping on our grass. He's real mad about it. So they called the police over. And he went, we're just there, sitting real quietly and humbly. And what happened was, he's going, you're going to jail. He's going, you're so happy we're going to go to jail. And came the police officer, and I could see him right here. He's showing him the track we got. He's talking to them over here. And then all of a sudden he goes, hey, they're calling the head guy. You're going to jail, he says. So that all of a sudden, three or four squad cars coming up there. I'm just standing there with our people there. And I'm watching the guy. And I could see the Barney Fife's police officer. You know, he just get very verbal and mad, and he's pointing like a chair, and puts his little tail between his legs, gets his little police vehicle, whatever it was, like a car with a name on there, and zipped off, and along came the sergeant, goes, hey, you can be here, no problem, man, here's your track back, you know? So someone does, in fact, they even falsely accused us of using cuss words, which when he accused me, I go, sir, I didn't do cuss words. I pointed my buddy Steve. He goes, sir, I haven't heard this guy cuss in my whole life, you know? You know, he knew he was just fudging that. But the point being is, it's how to act during these situations, you know? Just, to, you know, I'm being falsely accused, no big deal. And you know, the Lord will take care of everything here. And off the guy went. No, we never came back there because, you know why? There's no people there. But at least we, you know, took a stand and you plant your feet, you trust the Lord, let him lead. You get in a situation, you can't take it personally. You got to look at some of these things here. Like next point is flower of grace, Ephesians 2:3. With all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's a caring and sharing verse, amen? We like to preach. That's a caring and sharing verse right there. See, humility, honestly, walks consistently, loves generally, serves willingly, acts meekly, forgives heartily, forbears thoughtfully, and responds obediently. That's something that's even hard to talk about because then, see, you're not being humble. The Lord commanded us to be humble. 1 Peter 5:7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves under the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Get it, man? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may present you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. Now, let me give you some good advice here. Never, never, never pray this prayer. I don't want to think about it. Don't ask God to humble you. Get that, folks? Don't ever do that. Humble yourself. That'd be a scary thing. I don't want to enter my mind. Well, I'm not saying that. Because you want to, who knows what you do, right? You humble yourself, it says. You see that there? You know why? I mean, that's a prayer you'd never want to ask. Humble yourselves under by the mighty hand of God. You know why? By knowing the Word, looking at the Word of God, seeing examples. That's the key thing. What does it mean? Be clothed in humility. I'm gonna give some examples here. A good example would be the Lord Jesus Christ washing the disciples' feet. Now, hey, that talk about humility. He rises from supper and set and laid aside his garments and took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water in a basin and began to wash disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. The God of all creation coming down, washing. I know it was a custom back then, but that, talk about humility. That was it. You know, I mean, even Peter goes, no, don't wash me. You have the one wash your feet? No part of me. Wash my whole body, a little extreme, you know. My head too and everything, you know. But that is a picture of humility right there. So to be clothed with humility is a suit or dress, ladies, if you take it spiritually, that will never wear out. Will always be in fashion and always become suitable. Amen? That's what humility is. It's recognized by men and appreciated by God. That's something you just can't buy, you know, somewhere, you know? I mean, you know, you can't buy love. You can't, real love, real charity, real humility. Something God has to kind of work in you. When we pass out tracts a lot of times what happens if I notice this, there's a group of three or four people. I go, hey, which one are you in charge? Someone always points to the person. The guy that's appointing, he's really the humility leader. I give him the first track. He'll take it, the rest take it. You see, if you give it to a guy, he'll take it. The first one, they'll all take it. So I go, hey, which one are you in charge, ladies? Which one you are in charge, man? And the guy that points, that's the humility guy. That guy there, that's what I'm going to give it to. The guy that did the pointing. I give it to him, and almost every time, everyone else takes it. You see that? Because they'll follow something like that. That's a little trick that you learn. Because once you have someone, now they all just don't take it. Let's go to their side. That's just the way it is. I mean, you know, it's just, so you learn those things. You know, go passing track, passing thing there, you know. Number four, lessen the mind and example from the Lord. Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Well, how do you learn about the Lord? Through the Word of God, Holy Spirit, right? That's how you learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart, and shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and burden light. It's kind of, you know, humility, grace, very, very important. Very, very important. Talk about humility is to show you don't have it. That's why it's hard to do it. This message here. But to keep in step with the Lord will show it without talking about it or knowing it. See that? Talking about, or Peter, to talk about humility to show you don't have it, but to keep in step with the Lord will show it without talking about it or knowing about it. It becomes part of our nature, our nature that God gave us when we're born again. Some people are kind of, maybe you have some humility, they've learned some things that aren't saved, but the Lord is the one, we use his nature, and you're not talking about yourself. That's why in communication a lot of times, the skill is always talk about the other person, ask about themselves, right? Because people like talk about themselves. We all do, amen? Kind of, you know, you want a conversation with somebody? Ask them, hey, where do you go to school? What do you have to do? People like to talk about themselves. It's a great way of, and I use that, you know what though? I'm talking to somebody out on the street there. Mrs. Hoffman's real good about that, right? Mrs. Hoffman's very good at communicating, getting people to open up about it, right? It's a skill you have. I mean, no doubt about it. So by asking them, you know, remember their name and knowing about things like that there, it kind of, they like that. Here it is, Philippians 2:15. I'll close with this. 2:1-5. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy. Remember that word joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done in strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not upon every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And that's where you get that great word joy, right? Jesus, others, yourself. That's the verse right there that's the Christian application of relationship right there. Jesus, and that's what takes like-minded, humility, right? See that there? It's part of all that, that Jesus is us. And then, by the way, the next verse after that gives you the actual application for the Lord Jesus Christ, which we can never match up to. It says, next verse says, and being found in fashion of a man, example, Lord Jesus Christ, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. There you are. So how much more humble can you be than give it your own self? So they gave that example, and maybe a tough order, right? A tough order, but you know what? Hey, the Lord's our example, and he proved by giving his life. You can't have a better example than that. That's why he's the greatest thing. The three commandments of the Lord: believe in me, abide in me, and follow me. I mean, people ask, get down to the brass, hey, you're a sinner? Jesus is the answer. Hey, you want it simple? Believe in me, the Lord Jesus Christ, abide in me, and follow me. The downward is the upward. And if you want a secure blessing, James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Therefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but give grace unto the humble. You see that? So there's that. By you just having that characteristic, God will give you grace. And we all want some grace. Amen? That, you know what though? By the grace of God, when I give you grace, you know it's of the Lord. And you know what though? That's a gift. So you can secure a blessing by having this character, getting that grace of God. Matthew 12:23-12. and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You know, so the same thing, humble himself. Same verse there in First Peter, where it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. God's showing you again there, you know. Boom. So to remember this, maybe think of a vine. We're fruit as we mature and grow. The weight of the fruit is bending the vine, and our Heavenly Father picks that fruit and use it. So I mean, we're kind of we're going down. We're growing. We're getting heavy, and the Lord is just. Gives us a grace there, Heavenly Father. That's a good way of application, understanding this principle of humility. But once we get the pride out of the way, all those areas, kind of what comes in is this humility. Paul's a great example. The Lord's a great example. So always think about that when you're reading the scripture or dealing with spouses and family members and people on the street, crazy governments, people pointing things at you. You got to wear a mask and all this stuff, you know. Just think about it. What would the Lord do? You know, my brother got aggravated one time at the, he's a believer. Guy says, hey, dummy or something, where's your mask? And brother gave him the finger. And I thought, oh, I recommend doing that, okay? I go, Dan, that guy there, you gave a finger to? You're not going to give me any more tracks. He goes, no, I lost my opportunity to give him a track. But that's the wrong thing to do. But I mean, see, he went to the flesh there. I go, Dan, what are you doing? I go, yeah, I know. He commented and up that thing went, you know? I mean, that's not my brother, believe it or not, my brother Dan. But you know what, though? He reacted wrong. And now what, though? I go, you lost your opportunity to give that guy a witness, right? That's the wrong way. That's pride. Okay. Questions, comments? Yes, sir.
I was watching something the other day, and the first word of what they were presenting with this movie was on the lines of pride. Well, the guy says, in his first words, it just starts on the issue like this. He says, you know, my mother used to say, if you want to make God laugh, just tell him your plans. Okay? You just tell God what you're thinking, and he'll tell you what he's thinking.
Amen. Amen. Now, I say, hey, this is my plan, Lord willing. So I tell, hey, Lord, this is my plan. You know what I'm doing here? Now, if you want to change me, change it. I mean, the plan is a good plan. You know, I'm trying to serve the Lord. But Lord, so I'm trying to tell him. So, you know, he'll work around. He knows what it is. He knows. You tell him you're making a verbal mount. And he does laugh all the time. It's like, that's not the way you're going over here. Okay. Father in heaven, thank you for just a little opportunity looking at your word and see how relevant it is today and how we need to just be, you know, get closer and closer to thee, spending time in your word, looking at your example, following the Holy Spirit, Lord, you give us, and the word. We have all the tools right here, literally in our hand. So I just pray if there's something that some folks maybe need to change a little bit or whatever, Father, may you just prick their hearts and work out whatever you need to do is work out your own, you know, your own salvation. That's just the effects of it, Father. So they can be closer to thee and will please you, Father. So we thank you, Lord, for this time this morning. But we look forward to our, I believe, Brother Hoffman coming up here. And I pray he's got here ready and got mercies to get here. And may open up our eyes and may be ready to hear from thee, O Father, and give him extra measure and grace and mercy, Father. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.